Hello, my name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Monet Exchange.
And this is Sibling Rivalry.
In this episode, we talk about Tiffany Haddish's terrible show.
We discuss cancel culture.
And we found out what made me say this. And we found out what made Monet say this.
She wanted to send them to me, but I could not fit the gown, so she sent them to you. Jess, I don't want to tell you that, but that is the truth.
Can we say that the original intro was so shady because we used your music video and I didn't have a music video, so it was just me at industry bar.
We used the content we had, honey. We used the content we had had.
Now it has Soak It Up. I'm going to uncancel you. Oh. You were canceled until we had this new promo.
So today we're talking about cancel culture, which is pretty relevant to us because a lot of our fellow queens have been canceled. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the world right now are being canceled.
Girl, the fans will cancel you.
Honestly, for anything from rape down to saying Manila can't wear a maxi pad dress. Like the transgressions can be huge or they can be teeny weeny.
Oh no, girl, bitch! You said that you hate red M&M. People are like, you're canceled.
You say you like red M&M's. Literally, Valentina says she like red M&M's. People are ready to cancel her because she like red M&M's.
Okay, time really quick. That was about Nina, not Valentina.
Was it?
The M&M's and Champagne was about Valentina. Had nothing. I mean, it was about
Nina Bonina. Nina Bonina for Fanta Bonanno, Summer Bin Laden on Season 9 Brown.
It had nothing to do with Valentina. I found
that. But Valentina embraced it.
Yeah, because Valentina is just so ridiculous.
She fully was like, it's me. It's always been me. Like, she leaned into it. She was like, it was me. I said it.
It's literally an episode of Scooby-Doo at the end. You take the mask off Valentina. And it's Nina Bonina.
The whole time. I have to go. Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. I love Julia Roberts. So let's start with queens who've been canceled. Okay, let's try to name them. Tyra Sanchez.
Oh, well, she's still
canceled, arrested,
deported.
Sharon Needles.
Was she canceled for what?
The nigger thing.
Oh.
You don't remember Sharon
Needles?
Nigga, you heard what I said. No, you remember Sharon Needles had the whole N-word thing on it.
She still does when it comes to New York, walking up the avenue just screaming the N-word all the way down.
So you've been there.
But I never heard the internet cancel her.
It was like, especially during her season, she was pretty. And she's also banned from performing in some city. Like, she can't get booked in Portland, Oregon. She can't get booked in Seattle.
Word.
Yeah, like she cannot. She's wild. And then, of course, Eureka's been canceled. I think 7 times. RuPaul's
7 pounds.
RuPaul's been canceled.
The movie 7 pounds. Will Smith.
7 pounds plus, yeah. RuPaul's been canceled.
Oh, RuPaul is always.
She stay canceled. If you stay canceled, you ain't got to get canceled.
Yeah, RuPaul canceled. You've been canceled.
I've been like quasi canceled.
Yeah.
Trixie's been canceled.
Katya has never been canceled.
Katya cancels herself.
Right. Katya will come. She will go on national television, on Fox News, murder baby, drink his blood.
And the fans are like,
the
first coming of Christ.
Really. People are trying to kind of cancel me and Monique and Naomi and Trinity.
But that's not quite canceled culture. That's just they didn't like what y'all, because it's not. I feel like cancel culture is usually about breaking some sort of a social agreement or punching down to someone less than you. That's what I feel like cancel culture is. Not like you voted my favorite queen off, you get canceled. Like when Nina Bonina kicked Valentina off the show, she didn't get canceled. But when she said that Mexico deserves the hurricane or the earthquake.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because the Mexicans were mean to her, that's when she got canceled. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, I get that.
Yes, I don't think you're canceled.
No. I don't think any. I'm just being silly.
I got canceled because I made some Jew jokes at a roast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a whole Holocaust set at a roast.
I said Jew jokes at the last roast we did.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, I did it.
Wow, you feel.
And you just did it too.
It's not about me.
See, look at you. Look at you go. You are the Kevin Hart of drag.
Do you feel good about yourself?
I don't feel bad about myself. And also, when you go into that show, you make a social agreement with everyone in the room and everyone on stage that we are all going to be not politically correct.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that was a big thing in Whoopi Goldberg's career when she did, what is that place in New York that they did the crazy roast?
Oh, the Friars Club.
The Friars Club. And then...
when she painted her boyfriend in blackface.
In blackface. Yeah. Oh, girl, the internet... and
they went ham.
Like, do like, Whoopi Goldberg, we're done with you. And that,
I don't know that she painted him, but I know that he came did blackface. And she was there roasting him.
Her. And also, but like... and that hurt her career for a number of years. That whole Friars Club thing.
She all right now?
Oh, she's fine. I mean, she's on The View. I mean, Whoopi's one of my favorite people on The View. Anyway, so, you know, people are trying to kind of cancel Tiffany Haddish because she showed up to New Year's Eve and she completely bombed.
Well, doing a bad job is... I mean, that's canceled, like, the fact that, like, they're done with. Like, people just think she's... people do this to female comedians all the time.
What?
People take lady comics, they raise them up as the funniest thing. If you do one thing they don't think is good, they... destroy you. This happens to women in music and comedy all the time.
I agree, but Bob, to be fair,
she had a bad show. Who cares?
I'm not saying she had a bad show. I mean, no, I'm saying, but I mean, she like, it's different than doing like, you like, some things weren't funny. It's like the whole set bomb. And she's,
but she had a bad show. You never had a thing where you're sick, where your voice was gone and you couldn't sing right on the first episode of All Stars 4? That doesn't mean you should be pissed. That doesn't mean, what you call me? That doesn't mean you should be canceled. It just means, you know what I mean?
No, I don't think you should be canceled. I'm just saying, like, it was more than just a bad joke. It was like,
a bad show.
Like, she said that she forgot all her jokes and she didn't really practice them as much as she should.
Well, she probably went out there, a joke didn't go well, and then she started getting nervous and freaking out and was like, fuck, I don't know how to recover from this. And then your energy is struck and then your mind is thrown off, but you still... legally have to do a show that is an hour and a half long.
And it was sold out. Can you imagine? This is the picture. Sicily. No.
Picture, 1912, Sicily.
It was it's like a 20,000 house seat.
The number goes up every time she tells a story. It started off at the Laurie Beachman Theater with 100 people. And now she's at fucking Barclays.
It was a lot. It was a New Year's Eve. All the people are, this is like how everyone is shooting to end
the year.
Can
we please Google the arena and the capacity?
Of where?
Of wherever Tiffany Haddish was.
On New Year's Eve.
It's going to be a little bit of Googling, so you have to do some searching.
And, like, she sold out the entire venue, thousands of people, and more than three quarters of the room walked out. That
You know,
hurts.
Honestly, that would hurt. That would hurt. And so I watched the video, and she was just a sad person on stage, trying to get through a show and trying to entertain people and not being able to do it that day. I don't know what she was going through that day. Right. I don't know how rough her week was. I don't know what she came from. I don't know how long she'd been on the road. She just had a rough show.
Right.
And I, honestly, it happens to a lot of us. Sometimes you have a rough show.
Oh, it happens to me all the time in New York.
I mean, I've never really bombed because if I start doing a show and there's like very few people there, or if I tell a joke and it doesn't work out well, then I kind of just lean into that and then I just modify it from there instead of acting like I'm doing great. Which, by the way, Tiffany Haddish leaned into it, but maybe leaned into it the wrong way because she was shooken by it.
Oh, yeah, she was.
It shook her.
But it's also because she's been riding this high horse for going on 2 years of like, you're like the new it thing. You're the funniest black female comedian. Like, they are like, she's been, you know what I'm saying? So that's a hard fall.
But it doesn't make her not funny.
Oh, agreed.
You know what I mean? They did this with Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. Whenever like it happens a lot with ladies too. Like Lady Gaga.
Oh my God. Gay man could not wait to cancel Gaga.
Waiting. I was waiting you with the dough. I mean, Lady Gaga barely, she never stood a fucking chance. And as soon as people really thought that she wasn't doing a good job, they were like, they turned on her.
Yeah.
They fucking booked it.
It's so fucking shady.
It is shady. And I don't think it's cute, but it is what it is.
But now she's uncanceled ever since.
But and again, that's not canceled. It's just people are just over, like, people are just over you.
No, people try to cancel Gaga after Joanne. They were like, Joanne is the shittiest work I've ever done.
I think canceling is referred to people who have made transgressions, like social transgressions. It's not about not doing a good job. Canceled is when you make that's what I think cancel culture is about, someone who like says something bad about gay people, says something bad about Jews, says something bad about a malign culture.
No, I think that there are tiers to cancellation. People cancel celebrities over doing a bad, people, the canceling Gaga after Joanne thing is a very real thing. People are like, I am never buying her music again. She's one of the worst artists. I think there are
different. Okay, I don't think, no, people
there's
are not,
social
okay,
canceling.
No, people
were
not saying
canceling.
She's one of the worst artists. People were saying she's no longer good. No one was like, she's one of the worst. Okay, people were like, I don't like her stuff. I don't think they were, and people weren't using the term canceled.
Yes.
Sure, I don't know, whatever. But I find that most of the time when people talk about canceling, they're talking about people who have wronged a maligned social group that is typically not a majority.
Very levels of cancellation.
So the theater that she performed at was the James L. Knight Center, and it seats 4,569 people.
All right, it was the James L. Knight Center. It
seats 90,000.
It seats about 4,500 people. Jesus. He said that Monet inflated it to be she was performing a
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden girl. But that is still upsetting.
Yeah, it is.
It's upsetting when it happens at fucking Barracuda fits 150 people. Okay. Crammed.
90
people. I think it fit 150, but they're just crammed. I mean, when I was doing the show, it was probably, 150. But probably when you were doing it, probably upwards of fours and fives of people in there performing, right? Wouldn't you say?
You're not even funny.
Not pretty hilarious. I mean, I'm friend of Tiffany Haddish. I think that...
She listens to this podcast.
I love Tiffany Haddish.
She tweets us all the time.
That's not true. I would know Tiffany Haddish tweeting us.
Yes, we do. We are fucking friends.
I wouldn't know Tiffany Haddish was tweeting us.
But I'm verified, so I get...
I was verified before you were even a drag queen.
That's just not true.
First of all, wobble. Now, let's talk about actual cancel culture.
We did talk about actual cancel.
Okay, what I know to be cancel
deeper
culture.
Deeper into cancellation.
So, right now, I feel like the biggest people being canceled are R. Kelly.
Yes.
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
And in the queer world, RuPaul all of a sudden. Which RuPaul has been, I mean, honestly, every season RuPaul, every season since.
Bitch, every episode.
I mean, RuPaul has been. I'm going to do your duck call.
Go ahead.
I mean, I feel like, honestly, ever since the Shemale issue, RuPaul has been canceled multiple times every season, literally since then.
There was
the Shemale, there was the no trans women, there's the period dress, there's the thing he did to Pearl, the thing he did to Jasmine Masters, every season.
Girl, I feel like I'm in that gift with like the plus sign, the cosign, the I'm like...
Yeah, trying to figure out, Which is crazy because everyone's like says that he's canceled, but then they all go back and watch
the show
every single time without fail.
You know, I guess the latest one is the whole period dress with Manila Luzon.
Yeah, explain it.
Yes, if you do not know, on season 4 of All Stars, Manila for the runway is Curzon's where it's padded for the gods, and her original concept was a padded dress with like a big
maxi pad
on it with like a red dot, and it goes into like a red velvet thing at the bottom, and I thought. It was fierce. And she's saying that RuPaul told her that she cannot wear the dress. Now the internet is like...
Yeah, she said... her quote said, Ru said this dress was in bad taste.
Right.
Which, I don't... This is what... I find that odd because RuPaul is not in the back looking at our outfits. And if RuPaul did say that, production would never tell us that.
Right.
So the original quote was, Ru said my original curves and swerves was in bad taste.
Yeah.
She said Ru said it. Now,
I highly doubt.
As someone who had an outfit get nixed.
You did. When?
Your bikini, you said. Your swimsuit. Oh,
right.
So, tell us what it's like to have your outfit canceled.
So for season 10, for season 10, for the Marsha and Eleganza ball thing, my first thing was a bikini. And what happens is that the producers...
So you have to tell them what a burkini is.
A burkini is a swimsuit that Muslim women wear. So because it covers you from head to toe. But you're not showing any skin, all that stuff. And then I wanted to do that for my runway, you know, to show that swimsuits come in all different things. And then the producers pull you out of the workroom and they say, hey, we don't think this would be wise for you to wear this. It's a little touchy, it's a little controversial, and we want to protect you so that you don't get... Because what they're trying to do is to make sure that you don't get people saying you are... you're anti-Semitic,
anti-woman, anti-whatever. Yeah.
So they're trying to protect you. They're not, you know, and tell you that. But also they said, if you really want to do it, you can wear it. You can wear it for one take. And what I did, I wore it for one take and I wore it without so that I can decide how I feel about it later.
So you were there. Did Manila wear the maxi pad dress?
She did not.
So there was no takes with it.
Yeah, but I never saw RuPaul come and get her out of the room. Maybe they pulled her out and Ru spoke to her outside, but I would highly doubt
that. I mean, Ru don't talk to us like that.
He showed up unknown.
Ru is not kicking it with us at lunch break.
Right, Ru is up in his trailer, honey, living his life. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but she insists that RuPaul told her not to wear it.
Which, I mean, I'm not saying that didn't happen. Right. I'm saying I find that hard to believe.
Right.
That RuPaul himself said that, and that she would know that RuPaul said that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, because why would the producers, especially with everything going on, you can imagine the producers saying, hey girl, Ru doesn't want you to wear it.
Yeah, especially considering that RuPaul has worn Confederate flag dresses, RuPaul has worn a watermelon dress, RuPaul has
done. Go back to any of his the videos on YouTube of him in the late 80s, early 90s. RuPaul does and says controversial things all the time, like especially back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think a period dress is Ru's, like, you know.
Yeah, endpoint. Yeah, that's the edge of the cliff.
He's like, this is it. This is the line you cross, the Manila.
I mean, yeah, they make. I mean, on RuPaul's Drag Race, they make scat jokes. They make jokes about. I mean, every. So I just find it odd to. I find it interesting that she would spin it that way instead of being like, I think that maybe RuPaul was trying to protect my image.
Yeah. Because that could have gone either way. Because it could have been like, why? Like, it could be, or maybe there is going on out there. We just don't see it. A whole backlash of people saying, we don't need this man because Manila identifies as a man. He's a cisgendered male.
You think Manila looks like a man?
This cisgendered male.
You think Manila looks like a man is all I'm asking.
We don't need this cisgendered male to normalize a natural thing women do. And I mean, because that could be another angle that people.
Yeah, which is probably, which is, I mean, it could have been what the producers were thinking. I don't know. I'm not a producer. I was not there.
Would you be a producer on Drag Race if they hired you?
I'm severely unqualified for that job. Maybe like a story.
A story, that's what I mean, a story producer.
I don't know. I think I could be someone who like a challenge producer. I could be a challenge producer.
You'd be a good
challenge. And I could write sketches and shit, but I don't think that I could be a story producer now.
I think you could.
I would need some training first.
You, because you love to help people. You were like, I feel in this moment, Manila, that you.
Oh, I'd be there holding hands. Now listen. Did you or did you not say Monet was a bitch? And I'm like, So do you want RuPaul to be canceled because of that?
No, I don't want to. No.
I think you're just saying that because you're still on Drag Race. Monet wants them checks.
Okay,
Monet still wants them Drag Race checks. Is she afraid to say no to her master?
RuPaul,
that's what the fans all say.
RuPaul has never wrote a check for me. Has he ever wrote a check for you?
No, I mean, I did get $100,000.
Was it signed by RuPaul Charles?
It was from World of Wonder. What I'm saying is, I have received checks from World of Wonder when I won Drag Race, and you also get paid to be on the show.
Right.
Not a whole lot, but you get paid to be on the show.
But that's by Viacom. Well, Viacom, it was whatever
your logo hand is bullshit. All in my face. Also, by the way, logo is a part of Viacom, just so we're all clear.
Honey. But it's not VH1, honey.
Oh, you're welcome, by the way.
What am I thanking you for?
For having a season of Drag Race that won an Emmy, so people like you could get on Drag Race and lip sync for your life three times in a row.
You think that your crunchy 8-episode season 8 is the reason we're on VH1?
I think the last season of Drag Race on Logo was season 8, and after that, it was on VH1. So, yes, I do think that my season was very successful and helped to get on the map. You're very welcome.
No, honey. It's because of the work of people like season 3, 4.
So everyone ahead of me and everyone up to 7. But it stopped at 7, right?
Yes.
Work.
Yes, honey.
Nice.
It's the Trinity.
Oh, yes. Oh, honey. Yes, honey.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, Miss Thing.
I'm a bobblehead bitch.
So, yeah. So I mean, honestly, but the fans always say that we are getting money from World of Wonder. We love...
Bob and Monet are always sticking up for RuPaul. We're just honestly just expressing... I mean, I know you. You know me. We're just honestly expressing...
Like, for example, when RuPaul did the whole thing about having no trans women on the show, and I spoke out when RuPaul said that... when RuPaul said that he decided... That he was, like, trying to say when Pep's transition was and wasn't. I was like, that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's not up to RuPaul to decide when Pep's transition is.
Yeah.
That is only for Pep to decide.
Yeah.
So when there's something I don't agree with, I say it. And when there's something I say what I want to say.
All right, R. Kelly.
Now, we need to talk about, speaking of canceled, Miss Thing.
Okay,
we can still talk a little bit about, I mean, we're talking about cancel culture. If you're going to talk about cancel culture, you cannot not talk about R. Kelly.
Well, this
who is the most... He is the Harvey Weinstein of right now.
Well, this is the issue right now, is that his fucking record and album sales are jumping substantially.
I think it's because black folks sometimes...
It's fucking gross.
...cannot... You know what it is? Did you watch the whole special?
No, I just saw part one. I haven't seen part two yet.
I watched the whole special, and someone said something that makes sense. What happens is, people are not... It's not R. Kelly that they don't want to let go of. It's the fact that they danced to Step in the Name of Love at their wedding. It's the fact that they're saying, I believe I can fly at their high school graduation. They are selfishly not wanting to let go of... Because if R. Kelly is a vicious, nasty rapist and manipulator, then yes, those
yes,
moments...
Yes.
Then they mean... They feel like those moments for them are no longer special. I don't agree with that. I think that if all the things they're saying about R. Kelly in this documentary are true, and now I believe in God because I hope he goes to hell. It is vicious. It is nasty. If these things are true, he is a rapist and a very bad person, and he should pay sorely
for the ultimate prize.
Yes, the ultimate prize.
Because
he should go to prison for a long time.
He's destroyed these women's lives
systematically.
But what I think is causing the spike in album sales is that do you watch Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett?
No.
Well, she posted a little Instagram thing, and she asked the question. She's like, "Help me understand why the fuck y'all are still buying this music and streaming it and whatever." And what people were saying is that, oh, they're listening to the music to hear the clues. Because the reference song is called The Pied Piper.
So you buy a whole album to hear some clues? No, you wait till someone on YouTube already compiles a full list and makes it, and you watch that one video.
Okay, which you still get.
Which, by the way, his music is in the documentary.
Right, so they're giving him play too. But here's the thing. Well, what I noticed, I thought about that too. Each song is less than 5 seconds. They literally play Step in the Name of Girl. So I think if you don't put, I think there's some amount of time you can use that you don't have to pay royalties for.
Oh, I don't know the laws, but yeah, that sounds fierce.
Yeah, okay, watch it. Every song is like Step in the Name of Cut.
But I'm also trying to say, I am team Mute R. Kelly. Hashtag Mute R. Kelly.
Absolutely, delete R. Kelly.
But I'm also team Amplify Sparkle. Sparkle has a song called We Are Ready. Sparkle is the one with the blonde bangs,
uh-huh,
whose niece is allegedly in the video.
The pee-pee tape.
Yeah. And I want everyone to go out there and fucking support her. This is her Instagram handle. Please go support her. Go buy We Are Ready. Stream it on Spotify. Stream it on Apple Music. Buy it on whatever place you buy music. If you live near a Virgin Mega store, go down there and get a CD. If you live in the woods. What in the
2000 you talking about?
What in the name of 2003 of that? Are you talking about? Virgin Mega store. But that is how I... So yeah, I feel like in this... If people want to... Why can't you separate the person from the art? This is why. Because if you buy R. Kelly's music and you fund him, then that makes it possible for him
to do
the things that he's doing. He would not be able to get away with the things he's getting away with if he didn't have so much money. So it's not about money. It's not about money. Money doesn't buy happiness. That's a scientific fact. Mm-hmm. But it does give you the opportunity to do much more suspicious things, and you can't evade the law when you have more money. That's just
absolutely
true.
Absolutely.
So now they're trying to. Now the other person trying to a much less egregious transgression is Kevin Hart.
Kevin Aviance,
who is in full on cancellation right now. I mean, he. Okay, so you guys, can we get some of the tweets pulled up? Kevin Hart, some homophobic tweets surfaced
from 2008.
From 11 years ago, 10 years ago.
Oh my God, 10 years ago, gag.
And he said some homophobic tweets, and the Oscars said, hey, if you apologize, you can host the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Hart had a couple of responses.
Mm-hmm.
So the tweets were.
The first one. Yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, stop, that's gay.
No, say in my voice, in my nigga voice.
Oh, my nigga. Oh, got it. Okay, so he can't say. So he now Kevin Hart is afraid to.
He's probably being conservative with the amount of characters he has.
This is less than one. This is way less than one.
I'm just guessing. I don't know. Maybe he thinks saying in voice is funny. I don't know.
Then he said, "Okay, I'm just not waking up, and I'm in a good mood, so I think I'm gonna go to the gym and get big. No homo. No homo. I don't even. Is that?"
No homo.
I mean, I say no homo.
Okay, well, you can, because you're a homo.
Also, that's also something that I grew up with in... You didn't say that as a kid? Like growing
I'm
up?
A little older than you. We didn't say no homo.
Oh, that is a very Brooklyn thing.
I'm not saying it's not... I mean, they probably said in the language, but just, when I was a kid, that's not one of the things. Did you say no homo when you... Yeah, no homo is a couple of years after me.
Work. And he said, laugh my ass off at all the women asking me where the pic is. I'm not passing along a pic of a naked man. That would make me gay by association.
There's also other ones about AIDS and calling people faggots.
Really?
And like that was a lot of wild tweets. And his thing is, he said, I apologize a couple of times. Here's some quotes from him. I've addressed it. I'm over it. You're not going to ever hear me say anything else about it. I've done everything I can do. That was with Michael.
Michael Strahan.
And then he goes, if you can't also get past this, then that's a problem with you. He also said, I mean, should we address these one by one? I mean, this is so wild.
Yeah, let's do the first two.
Okay, this is with Michael. I've addressed it. I'm over it. You're not going to ever hear me say anything else about it. I've done everything I can do.
Well, that's just a lie.
That's just not true.
Well, I think what it is that I'm sure he's getting it from all sides. And in his mind, once he's apologized,
what? Can hear from all sides.
And in his mind, once he's apologized, like what? I don't think he knows what else he can do.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't know what else he can do, but also it seems like he's just not interested in continuing the conversation.
Yeah,
he's not interested in the conversation going further. Also, I've said this a million times before: apologies are not for the offended; apologies are for the offender. You only apologize for yourself because all you're doing. If I punch you in the eye. Or step on your foot and I say, sorry.
Let's do that this afternoon.
If I step on your foot on accident and I say, I am sorry. All I've done was let you know that I didn't mean to do. That's all I did. Now, if I give you ice, if I offer you an Advil, if I help you with your foot, then that is atonement. Apologies without atonement are only for the person who did the transgression because you're trying to let the world know, hey, I'm just letting y'all know, sorry, I realized that was wrong, or I'm sorry I got caught. But you're not actually doing anything that is literally just for the person doing it.
I kind of agree and kind of don't. Sometimes just hearing the words, I'm sorry, because sometimes there's nothing that you can do to atone. Sometimes apologies is all that's needed. I don't think that atonement is always necessary.
It didn't work here.
Well, in this case, what I'm going to say, atonement is a case-by-case situation. Sometimes just hearing the words, I'm sorry, is what I need.
We different. You need to fix what you did wrong.
But sometimes there's nothing to fix. You know what I'm saying? Well, sometimes it's a situation and there's nothing to fix. You just need to say, I'm sorry. I'm like, you know what? I appreciate you saying I'm sorry. I don't think they're always only.
Well, I think there's also ways to atone for things that you can't fix. For example, I'm sorry and I'm going to like also make sure you know deep down that I don't feel that way anymore and that I intend to change my behavior in the future. Not just, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about it no more.
Well, I think before this, he had apologized. When he did his whole thing and he apologized, like he did a whole sit-down thing and said, I'm really sorry for what I said, I'm sorry. And now on Michael, this is like on day 17 of the apology. He's like, I am sorry. Jesus God, I am sorry.
I feel like sometimes people do accept apologies, though. For example, people accepted Aziz Ansari's apology.
What did he do?
Aziz Ansari had a situation that was like bordering on Me Too, but not quite. And
I remember a girl that may have
been a little bit uncomfortable. And Aziz was like, I am genuine. For some reason, they took Aziz's apology. Maybe because they felt it was heartfelt, or maybe because I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Well, also, because for example, there are times like when you do something to me, Bob, and you're like Monique, I said I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I don't stop apologizing. I say, let me say again, I apologize. Like because here's the thing,
what he did.
No, here's the thing, but he said I'm over. I've never said I'm over it. I'm never apologizing for that again.
Bob, yes, you have.
I will let you search your world, the text. I've never said I'm not apologizing again.
Mitchell, James, and Patty, is the Bob?
Answer. Tell them answer.
You fully have been moments where, like, I apologize.
You're like,
but I've never said I'm done talking about it. I've never said I said I apologize again. I would say again, I'm sorry, but I never go, I'm done talking about it. Or you'll say
difference in being like, I said I'm sorry and I'm not apologizing.
And you'll be like,
but those are not the same. Saying I'm sorry again, I repeat, I'm sorry, and saying I have addressed it, I'm over it. You're not going to ever hear me say anything else about it. I've done everything I can do. Do not align me with this. I've never done that to you. Never, not once.
No,
and I'm not going to discuss it again.
I will say,
what's
wrong with you? That is your problem. If you can't get past it, that's a problem with you.
I would say, you'd be like, Monique, Jesus Christ. I said, I'm sorry. What else do you want me to do?
And I'll say, now that's me asking, what else do you want me to do? I am sorry, but I have never said I'm done talking about it.
Why are you getting so aggressive?
I'm aggressive. Monique, you ask me this literally every day.
Because I am literally purple. I am
every
so
day you ask me, why am I so aggressive? Why are you still shook after knowing me for 7 years that I get
8 years.
Whatever. Why are you, Monique, you see me get aggressive over Flaming Hot potato chips. Why are you shocked that I still get hyped? Why?
Stop fucking clapping. Why? Now you need to apologize. Now I feel a certain way.
Well, I apologize. What else do you want me to do?
I think you should atone for your apology.
How?
Don't try not to ever clap at me again.
No, I'm still clapping.
See, so now you see? You're Kevin Hart.
The difference is you are trying. See, that's a big difference. This is about making a transgression against an entire community, and you're saying, please don't clap. I know you're trying to be, but your correlation, they don't sit side by side. It doesn't work.
Okay. And I think, so when he said, if you can't also get past this, then that's a problem with you. Now I'm getting wild saying, well, you know, well, now this is your problem. If you can't get over this, and this has to be, which I can kind of see, because I have done a situation where I have apologized and I have atoned, and the person still can't get over it. I'm like, well, now it's all on you. I've atoned. I'm sorry.
But what else? If you bump into me and my head hurts and you give me Advil, but my head still hurts, you haven't properly atoned. My head still hurts.
So, okay, what else am I going to do to stop you? Do you want me to fucking go in your brain and give and what else am I to do?
I'm not a doctor, but I know that maybe I can't, in that situation, maybe I can't feel less angry until my head stops hurting.
But again, but I've done all I can do. So literally the problem's with you. That is for you to, it's all on
you. Yeah, the problem is with me, but it stemmed from you. Do you see what I'm saying? The problem is with the people. I'm not saying he's wrong, but the problem is with the people who are hurt. But it stemmed from him. They didn't get hurt in a vacuum.
Right.
They weren't just standing on the street and then started getting their feelings hurt.
I'm just saying, after a certain amount of atonement and apology, there's literally nothing else that the violator can do. It's like, I've given you the medicine. I said I'm sorry. I've offered to take you to the ER. Your head is still going to hurt. I've literally done everything
in my power. It's also okay for people to be like, I don't forgive you.
Very true.
Be like, I don't.
True.
And they're like, what can I do? And they're like, nothing. I don't forgive you.
Very that.
So he can't get, if you make the transgression and folks are like, I'm mad at you. For example, when I tell offensive jokes, if someone gets mad, I'm like, you have every right to be mad. And I can't tell you, that's not true. I'm not saying I'm not apologizing. Okay, when I make a transgression, I'll apologize. But if they're mad at me, I can't be like, you don't get to be mad. You can be mad all day long. There's nothing I can do about you being mad. So all this exasperation with like, y'all motherfuckers crazy, it doesn't make sense to me.
So if did you apologize for telling really offensive jokes that people are offended by?
What I said was, I apologize for everyone who was offended by my Holocaust jokes. And I'll ask you about yours too. About my Holocaust, I said, in that situation, everyone in that room and everyone on that stage, we all agreed that this was what we were doing. So in that situation, that is why I did it. And my intentions were never to offend anyone. So for that, I am genuinely sorry. Does that make sense? I also had a whole other story, and this is people, the comments about to get lit the fuck up. I was like, also on a completely different side note, black folks can't oppress Jews anyway, so that's not how that works. Like, it's not like, I can't use my words to oppress Jewish people. It's not possible.
I don't know how that works. You have to explain that to me.
Okay, so to oppress someone, you have to have more power than they do.
Right, okay,
can the kids oppress their parents?
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, if they all band together, they can.
Yeah, it wasn't a bunch of us banding together to crush Jews. It was Bob the drag queen telling Jew jokes on stage.
So
tell me about your Jew, like when you told your Holocaust jokes, did you ever apologize for it?
No, because no one was retouching me saying you're offended.
Well, now they know. Google Monet Sherry Vineros, you'll see them.
No one retouched me saying they were offended.
But also, if someone is offended, would you apologize?
Honestly, I think it's a case-by-case situation.
Well, I have a case. I'm putting it in front of you. Someone's offended. Do
like
you apologize?
One single person in the entire room was offended, and they like sent a message on Twitter. They're like, Monet, your jokes and I really offended me. Well, I will not apologize.
It would probably be so. What happened? By the way, mine honestly was not a big deal. Almost
like the whole Anti-Defamation League come against you.
Yeah. What it was Trixie's cotton picking jokes about Latrice surfaced, and we were in the exact same show. And then so it was mostly Trixie being canceled, and then someone was like, oh, also, by the way, Bob also made some jokes. Like, oh, yeah. And I
would have gotten away with it, too.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that fucking wing-eyed clown. And then they were like, oh, by the way, Jinx made some jokes. Oh, and over here, I see that so-and-so made some jokes. But also, that is the nature of the show. I knew what I was getting myself into when I did the show. I don't know anyone on that roast stage who did not tell offensive jokes.
Right. Well, that's just a rest of roast, and that was Willie's argument too. It's like, that's what a roast is. I mean, if you don't want to hear those kind of jokes, then don't go to a roast. Don't watch it. That's what roasts are.
I agree. But also, if someone is offended by what I said on the stage, I can't get mad at them. Like, I get it.
You don't have to get mad, but I don't think apologizing is a thing. I'm like, you bought this $50, $40
it's people at home, it's not people. It's not people. But what I'm saying is, when I say sorry, like, because it genuinely was not my intention to hurt their feelings. I'm like, oh, sorry, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
But also, when you say sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, to me, that is a kind of like a half apology.
How?
Because you're not really, like, even saying I think it's a difference from saying, I'm sorry for telling those jokes, as opposed to, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
But I'm not sorry for telling the jokes.
But you weren't sorry for your feelings because you decided to put anti-Semitic jokes.
No, I said, I'm not sorry for telling the jokes.
I'm not saying what you would say. If you say I'm sorry for hurting your feelings, you knew that saying the joke would offend someone. I mean, offend someone. You know what I'm saying? Like, you knew saying a Holocaust and I know when I said my Anne Frank joke, I'm like, I know someone is going to get offended.
Yeah.
So I'm not sorry for offending your feelings, but I knew that would happen.
I don't think that's not how that works for me. And maybe that's how that works for you. That's not how that works for me. My intention was to make people laugh, and people did laugh. My intention was not to hurt anyone's feelings. So for that, I am sorry. I'm not sorry for telling the joke. Does that make any sense? For example, when I say things about white people being racist, if you got your feelings hurt, sorry. But I'm not sorry for saying that because that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry. Because y'all are racist.
Baby, I'm sorry. Nope.
So do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, it's just different for me.
So you
like when I tell offensive jokes about white people, about Jewish people, about black people, if you are black and you get offended by my black jokes,
you're not sorry.
I'm not sorry. A, I am fucking black. I can go the fuck I want to.
Well, the other people, tell me the other people.
Yeah. Oh, the killers when white people get offended by your black jokes.
White people can eat a dick. If I tell black jokes, if I say nigga, get the fuck out of here.
Oh,
take your white ass down.
Girl, that happens all the time. They're like, Monet, wow, Monet, using the N-word and saying that joke. I'm like, who the fuck are you?
I don't even hear that. I do not hear white people telling me I can't say the N-word.
It honestly happens a lot. Does it happen a lot to you?
People don't try with me. They be like, Monet, you can't do that. You're Miss Congeniality. I'm not Miss Congeniality. I was Miss fighting on my season. You see what I'm saying? Let's go through his other tweet now. Now he did the tweet. Now, during the other statements, during his interview with Ellen, he said, going through 40,000 tweets is an attack to destroy and end me.
I will say, if you are going through, if someone has 40,000 tweets, that is a lot of fucking tweets. That means you are on a mission to find a clue.
By the way, it is, I mean, I think he's overcomplicating how hard it is to find that. You can type Kevin Hart, Twitter, faggot.
Okay.
Yes, and every Twitter, everything's ever tweeted with the word faggot will pop up. It's not this.
Oh, that's what I thought it was.
No, that's not how
this. Well, I'll try to find a.
It is too.
I've tried to find offensive tweets about people before. I just went through this because I don't know what to search. I'm like searching.
Well, I just helped you. You pick. You highlight words like faggot or whatever, and then they will pop up.
Oh well, I got some stuff coming for some people.
It's 2019. It's not. We're not going through old. What do you call those things?
Yeah, your words together.
What do you call at the library where you
a monocle?
Yeah, what is it when they put the newspaper clips and you're like rolling through them? Anyway, it's not like that. It's much easier to find them. So what he's saying is Kevin Hart thinks this is about ending him. It's not about justice for gay people. How do you feel about that?
I think that in this culture, I think that the motive may be to like make him atone for his transgressions, but I do think that people just start hopping on a bandwagon and be like, good, let's get him. Even though they're not still offended. I don't know. I think it's weird.
I am intrigued by the fact by how often black people are canceled, specifically black men, get canceled in culture. That bothers me. But also, like Amanda Seale said, in terms of what R. Kelly's doing, I don't want to hear about what Harvey Weinstein got away with.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about what Louis C.K. got away with.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about R. Kelly and what he did.
You're right.
You know what I mean? It's like when I was a kid and I'd be like, but Justin did this, my mom would be like, I'm not talking about Justin.
Same.
I'm talking about you.
Same. So I got to be all the time. Oh, I would bring him, my brother, into everything. I'm like, but Sean did it. I'm like, I'm not talking about Sean. I'm talking about you right now, Kevin. I'm like, but he did it too. And then I'm talking to you.
You'd be like, but 10 years ago, Sean tweeted out.
I used to get in trouble. So my mom would cook, and I would get in trouble all the time for while she's cooking. Let's say she went to a random room to do something. I would reach in the pot and take a piece of whatever fat ass kid, right? And then she'd always catch me, and then she'd be like, why did you do that? I'd be like, well, Sean did it too. Like, I'm talking to you.
Also, just stop doing it. If you keep getting caught, stop doing it.
I was hungry.
Just wait. You kept getting caught and you kept doing it.
Okay, first of all, don't act like you didn't know. My mama will start cooking at 12 o'clock and dinner would not be until 9 p.m., bitch. I'm fucking hungry.
Is that a Caribbean thing?
I don't know. Whatever. I thought it was a black thing.
Make jerk chicken take that long?
So I would try to get me a little taste. I would get in trouble all the time.
You and also, snitches get stitches.
Oh,
You know he's a fuck me up, too.
Your mom was like, she gave you stitches, then he gave you stitches. Girl, you are wild. Hold on, me. A dab on these hoes. But yeah, you know, I just feel like, I'm not saying that this is not an attempt to destroy his character. What I'm saying is you still did this.
Yeah.
Like, you did what is written on this paper.
And this is true.
And you have to live with that. You did it. If folks are mad, they get mad. Also, I don't care if Kevin Hart hosts the Oscars. I don't.
Same.
I don't even watch the Oscars.
What are some of the View? They were like, they should, they were like saying, like, having like 8 people host. I don't want 8 hosts of the Oscars. That's a little ridiculous.
I'm not watching the Oscars. I don't care who hosts the Oscars.
Whoever hosted La La Land gonna win again.
Ever since Oscar So White, I was like, I'm done anyway. You remember Oscar So White back when every actor nominated was white, every movie had all white people in it.
Oh, don't let Whoopi Goldberg hear you say that, girl. Whoopi Goldberg is not a fan of that bullshit.
Well,
Oscar she so was like, we all vote. She was like, this is what it is.
No, I wasn't voting.
I don't get canceled on finding success and damage. I don't get that. What are you trying to say? Like, if you cancel them, oh, canceling them equals finding success. Like finding happiness in their damage?
Oh, he was, Kevin Hart was saying that people who are perpetuating cancel
culture
are finding success in damage. That's why they're going through 40,000 tweets, because they're finding success in doing damage.
Oh, like they're finding happiness in doing that.
Success, no, they're finding like...
physical success?
I don't know, I guess, yeah.
You're saying going through the
tweets. I don't get it. Like if you, like, so if I go look on Bob's Instagram and I find something that he said and I post it, I'm getting like financial gain from his.
I don't know if he meant financial.
Well, I will say this: there is money to be made in talking about Kevin Hart at the Oscars. There is. I mean, if it's on news sources, that's money. If it's on Ellen, that's money. If it's on Michael Strahan, that's money.
That's true.
If it's on Silver Hour Podcast, that's even money. We got Patreons now. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I do feel that, but also honestly, I feel like as a comedian, this is kind of just one of the areas that comedians end up in. If you tell jokes that are offensive, someone will be offended. You cannot be shocked when someone is offended.
Absolutely.
So I feel two ways. One is like, if you tell jokes that are offensive and someone gets offended, you can't be shook and shocked. I've done it, and I'm not shook and shocked. Mm-hmm. When you've done it, you don't get shook and shocked. Mm-hmm. I've never been canceled quite on the level that
right.
Kevin Hart is.
I would say it is a little different when you, he is the most successful male comedian.
Yeah, probably.
So you know what I mean? So I mean, he is definitely getting canceled on a much larger scale than you and I are getting canceled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
For now, because you know the future is going to be popular. You know what I mean?
We should host the Oscars.
They should ask us.
Call us.
Oscar. Also, not Ellen talking about, I called the Academy. What? That is some white woman shit. I called the Academy. She just picked up her phone like, hey, Siri,
hello,
call the Academy.
Mr. Academy. Hi. Can I speak to James Academy? Hi, James.
Like, that is so, like, what? And why would she not recommend us?
Jiggly Caliente said that Bob should host.
She didn't pick you.
Cut this out. We're not putting that.
Fuck,
pussy. We can't use that footage.
This is not, we have, I say fucking pussy all the time. This is not RuPaul's Drag Race. We keep it in there.
fuck,
pussy. You kill me with that. Fuck, pussy. Anyways. So I performed with Kathy Griffin, actually. Not with Kathy. We were on the same stage on the same day. In the same show. But Kathy Griffin did the AIDS walk.
Mm-hmm. That was Joy Behar, you mean?
It was Kathy Griffin. I was there. You weren't.
Remember you telling me a story about how you...
No, Joy Behar was at the...
Caroline.
With the Caroline Comedy.
Right. Okay, yeah. Okay, got it.
I have like a lot of celebrities in those days. I mean, Whoopi, that was in Vegas. Anyway. And me and Leslie Jones. That was
right. First of all, Leslie Jones literally sends me private Instagram videos. Like we. That
when I literally have 2 original gowns in my basement from Leslie Jones. Your videos, and I also get private videos. You just don't compare.
She wanted to send them to me, but I could not fit the gowns, so she sent them to you. Jess, I didn't want to tell you that, but that is the truth.
Monet, if you show a shred of a receipt that is true, I will give you $100 right now.
I don't want production. I don't want to embarrass you.
Exactly. Egg salad.
Oh, flying the phone, please.
We'll wait.
Green phone.
Monet, do not waste our time because you know you fully don't have this in there. I forgot my passcode. But what I'm saying, so we did the AIDS walk, and then, like, literally 2 days later, she held the picture of her holding up Trump's head, and then she got canceled.
Oh, that was like instantaneous. The world was like, you're done.
Yeah, but she held up a bloody president. So that was an example of cancellation. She recovered from it. And she ended up doing a sold out world tour ahead.
After that?
Yeah, it was called Heads Will Roll. You guys don't remember this? Okay. And it was sold out across the world.
Okay, literally. Then she's
but
fine.
But she still got investigated by the
FBI.
Secret Services.
Okay.
She has to like go in for extra screening every time she flies internationally. It's like all this stuff.
Word. So which we know that is just inconfucking genius.
That's more than being canceled. That's being investigated by the Secret Services.
I wonder what that looks like. Do you think that they like come to your apartment like go with like all your like fucking dildos and shit?
I don't know.
It's a mob! It's a mob! Yes!
Yeah,
That is great. You imagine what if you were the investigator of the FBI? They just took all your drag away.
I'd be upset, and I would probably feel the way Kathy Griffin felt.
Do you think if she did it now? Like, I mean, it was only a year ago. But...
I think it'd be about the same, to be honest. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that I can't foresee that it would be different. And also, since then, I think people have felt emboldened by her to start saying much more egregiously horrific things against President Trump.
No.
Just go look at Bette Midler's tweets, Cher's tweets.
Well, but those have always been the radicals.
But I'm saying, like, I think that people have felt empowered by her, not because she came back from it. And I think she came back from it when she stopped giving a fuck.
She leaned in.
Yeah, well, when it first happened, she was on the apology train.
But then she went back to, you know what, fuck it, I'm not sorry.
She was running the apology train local.
And now that, yeah, exactly. Now she's like, you know what, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry.
Baby, I'm not sorry.
So that's why I think. So, long question short, do you think that Kevin Hart should host the Oscars?
The honest, I really don't care, but just to make the podcast interesting, I think that he, listen, okay, if he doesn't want to, then he doesn't have to.
But let's put it this way. Not to make the podcast interesting, you are a voting member of the Oscars.
Okay.
You have to cast a vote. Can Kevin Hart host the Oscars, yes or no?
Yes.
You vote yes.
Yeah. What about you?
I would say no. If I was a voting member of the Oscars and I was like, it's bad for business, I would say no.
Okay.
Yeah. I also don't think that Kevin Hart hosting the Oscars will do a rough thing for the queer community. I do think that people, I do think that having someone like that be still successful after doing something that is egregious to the queer community is a representation of how we are treated in society. And that could be harmful to people watching.
To like, because anything that they can do it too.
Because then, or not about that. Maybe kids are like, this is what the world thinks of me. You can say this about me. You can say this about people like me, and you can still go on to success. And the world doesn't. That's how the girls are feeling in this R. Kelly scandal.
Well,
you can do whatever you want to black women, and no one cares. No one has our back.
What is also crazy to see so many black men like saying like, man, they're still supporting him. And then to mention again, Amanda Seales, she put out a tweet and she was saying, she retweeted a picture. It was like, so you're over here still supporting R. Kelly and still saying he's and still believing in him. So now you wonder why your niece or your daughter won't tell you that her uncle is touching her, because you're showing that even though there's all this evidence against him, you're still in support. So why would she tell you?
Yeah.
You know, it's so crazy.
So with that in mind, I do, and also like I said, it's that he's punching down to a culture that feels when you grow up, you're kind of just afraid to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anywhere, not at home, not at school.
Back in the day,
not
more
at church.
So. I mean,
I'm not a gay kid now. Like, I only been a gay kid in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Just true. I was very scared to be gay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I don't want to fuck home with boyfriends. And in my fucking neighborhood.
Really?
Sometimes. I'm just like, I just don't want to deal with it.
Oh, I like, I don't know, it's probably
and it's not about, and it's not
oh,
about,
I love getting the stairs.
But it's also not about being, it's different. It's
I know
about,
what you mean.
It's
I
not
know
about
what you
being
mean.
Gay, it's about specifically showing affection, because when I walk down the street, I am super gay. Not right. As gay as some people, but I am very gay though. But also when I'm with gay people, I'm like, I embrace it, I lean into it, but it's specifically with me,
love.
It's that childhood of having bad things happen to you for being gay.
Yeah.
So for me, the last step is getting over being afraid to show affection to my partner in public.
Yeah.
outside of a queer space.
Especially in fucking Washington Heights, where there are like literally 14 drug dealers lined up the block.
Yeah.
Like 14 of these. And bitch, let me tell you, I'm telling you from experience, a lot of these motherfuckers is homo thugs, okay?
What's a homo thug?
A homo thug is somebody who is a thug who is gay.
How are you not sweating? Do you have Botox?
I don't.
I'm also fully wearing a fucking neoprene suit.
I'm wearing a t-shirt.
I know. No pants. Thick thighs with the dick rise.
Yeah, homo thugs. It's a thug who's gay, but they're obviously DL. Do you know that 6ix9ine, there's full on porn of 6ix9ine?
I don't know what that is.
6ix9ine's that rapper with the big 6ix9ine tattoo, the rainbow hair.
Oh, like gay porn?
Oh, yes, girl. He used to take big ass black dick.
He also has rainbow hair.
Yeah, okay. What are you saying?
That's gay. So I'm not shook. He looked gay.
You even know who it was, if I just said.
No, I know who it is now that you mentioned who it is.
You don't know who it is.
He's that guy with the fucking face tattoo. He's light skinned, he got face tattoos and kind of long
hair.
He's
not light skinned, he's Puerto Rican.
Oh, I guess he's dark for Puerto Rican. Right. I thought it was black.
No, he's Puerto Rican. Girl's him taking little, like taking King Ding-a-ling dicks, 13-inch dicks, up his ass, getting fucked.
Is it real?
Yes, it's real. He used to do porn to make money.
Work.
So he used to do porn to make money to go into the studio to record albums.
Take pipe to lay the vocals.
So we should cancel him.
For having sex with gay guys?
I'm being stupid.
This is like a Tiffany Haddish set. Are you ready for Tiffany Haddish?
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I think that we discussed a lot today. It's an hour footage. You gotta go.
All right, that's fair. We got some good stuff in today. Stop rubbing my pussy, you fucking dyke.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh my God. Yeah, keep that in too.
I don't care.
Apologize. Apologize to the lesbians out there.
You're being so ridiculous. Also, Monet says she's not apologizing for nothing she just said. She's not sorry. Monet not sorry. What she don't apologize.
What did I say to apologize
she
about?
She not apologize for your anti-Semitic jokes. She not apologize for your body shaming jokes.
What body shaming jokes?
You never told a fat joke?
No, I have never told a fat joke.
Monet, how do you sit here and egregiously lie to these patrons, your siblings, your cousins, and your strangers?
You just love throwing the word egregious around. You put the word egregious in any sentence.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see an egregious movie.
That's you with press. Now check the gate.
Anyway, this is a good conversation, sister. I learned a lot about you.
I am a puddle. I'm a fucking puddle. I'm sweating as hell.
That's right.
All right, so thank you guys for watching. That was a good episode.
Was. All right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And can we talk about that for a second, too? Mm-hmm. We never talked. I think if you're canceled, you can come back. If you've actually changed, you can come back.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy. I fucking watch Oprah, and like there are former KKK members getting applause from the audience.
Yeah, they put I've down seen their that. Robes, I've seen that.
But you can't forgive me for making a fat joke a couple of years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's but also I think that the world is much more willing to forgive white people than they are to forgive black people.
I agree with that.
That's just how I feel. I said what I said.
Why do you feel that way?
I think because white people are seen as nicer, as easier, as kinder, as friendlier, as more compassionate than black people are seen.
Mm-hmm.
Black people are portrayed as not necessarily those things. Mm-hmm. Or the exact, black people are either the oracle who knows everything, or the nigga shooting up the bodega.
Mm-hmm.
In media.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's very accurate.
So that's why I think that it is the way. I mean, it is. The fact that there are more black people in prison than white people should be statistically impossible.
Because we are way less than the population.
12%. If every single black person in America was committing crime, all of us, and only half the white people, they would still be committing more crime than us.
Gag.
Because they have more than double us.
Gag.
So it's statistically impossible for black people to be committing more crime. I also feel like crimes come from two things: mental illness and desperation.
And status.
What do you mean? You getting, that's desperation. Desperate for money.
Desperate for money, yeah.
And mental illness and desperation, that's why people commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can't think of any other reason to commit a crime.
I mean, I think that's a nuanced thing, but like the overarching.
If you commit a crime because you're bored, you have a mental illness. If you commit a crime because you want money, you are desperate for money. I can't think of one scenario where mental illness and greed don't come into
That's everyone, though.
Crime. Yeah,
everyone, all people, it's not just white people, that's why all people commit crimes, is because of mental illness and greed, which I want to talk about mental illness in the black community for
a little bit. We'll just talk about this. This is a definitely different episode, because then we can talk about 13, because it was such a powerful documentary. I think everyone in the world should watch it, obsessed. To be honest. So listen, on our next episode, we're going to talk about
mental illness in the black community.
Yeah, and then which will tie into 13. So if you have
the prison reform,
watch 13, the documentary on Netflix, 13 by Ava DuVernay.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Peace out, and
love black you, sis.
What?
I love you.
Oh, that's so sweet. I said black power, though.
Oh. That was yeah, black. Wakanda forever.
I feel like you notice that everyone does this except for Black Panther. He does this.
Well, he has claws.
I know.
When he is a boy, he does this. When he's in Panther, he does this.
What is it? Is he in drag? Black Panther. Catch.
Anyway, we love you guys. See you soon. Sibling Rivalry is proudly presented by The Only Productions.
We would like to thank director of photography, Daniel Robertson, executive producer, Mitch Farino, and production assistants, Patrick Miner and Alfredo Sullivan. Thank you so much, and
we want to God bless you.
And thank you, the listeners.
You, the listeners. Literally, you guys, no, literally, you guys are the most important part of this podcast, in my opinion.
Otherwise, it's just us sitting in the living room in drag, talking to each other.
Which we do normally.
So we don't need y'all. Don't even subscribe.